Chapter 1. Altered Circumstances. The Dashwood family had lived for many generations in Sussex. Their estate at Norland Park was large, and they were a respectable family, liked by their neighbours and esteemed by their servants. Mr. Henry Dashwood, the present owner of the elegant old manor house, had inherited the property from his uncle. He had one son by his first marriage, and by his second wife, three daughters. The son was well provided for financially by the fortune of his late mother, and by his own marriage to a wealthy lady. But Mr. Dashwood's daughter's future was less secure. The father knew that when he died, the estate had to be left to his son, for these were the conditions of the inheritance imposed by his uncle, and he was worried about his dear daughters. He therefore made his son John promise that when his father died, he would look after his half-sisters and make sure that they had everything they needed to live comfortably. Soon after this, Mr. Dashwood became ill, and within a year had passed away. John Dashwood remembered his solemn promise and decided to give his sisters £1,000 each from his considerable inheritance. John Dashwood was a steady, respectable young man, but rather selfish and cold. Perhaps if he had married a more affectionate and amiable woman, he would have become more generous. But in fact, he had married a woman even more narrow-minded and selfish than himself. Mrs. Fanny Dashwood did not like her husband's half-sisters or his stepmother. She was jealous of their strong affection for one another and their influence over her husband. When he explained his intentions to help the girls to his wife, she did not approve at all. She was certain these women were scheming to get some of her husband's money. Therefore, she replied that giving the £3,000 to his sisters would really mean taking the money from their baby son's future inheritance. Did he really believe that the Miss Dashwoods' claim to the money, as half-relations, could possibly be stronger than their dear little boys, their only son, and the apple of their eye? Mr. Dashwood was surprised at this interpretation, but, being rather reluctant to part with his money, quickly began to see the reason in his wife's argument. He therefore decided to reduce the sum to £500 each. He was sure three young women would be perfectly comfortable on the interest from such a sum. But Fanny was still not content.
"If the girls marry, they may end up having more money than us,"
she cried.
"Why not do something for their mother instead? A little sum to her will benefit them all. Four women living together can live very cheaply,"
she added. Her husband agreed that she was probably right. A small yearly annuity to his stepmother of £100 would be the answer. His wife agreed, but then pointed out a possible complication. His stepmother was still a strong, healthy woman and might live for another 15 years. That could mean paying £1,500 if they began now. Better to simply give his sisters a little present of £50 now and again, she suggested, and not commit himself to the risk of any permanent arrangement. That would be more than generous. No one could expect him to do more for half-relations. Mrs. Dashwood and her daughters remained at Norland for several weeks after her husband's death. They were all very fond of the old place, and leaving it would be difficult. However, when Fanny, with an extreme lack of diplomacy and sympathy for their position, arrived without notice only days after her father-in-law had died, and began to give the servants orders and alter the furniture, her mother-in-law began to see how she would be treated if she remained at Norland. She was therefore impatient to find another house as soon as possible. She started to make inquiries, and luckily a cousin of hers wrote her a very friendly letter offering them a charming property on his estate in Devonshire for a very reasonable rent. Only one thing now stopped Mrs. Dashwood from leaving Norland immediately. Recently, she had noticed a growing romantic attachment between her eldest daughter, Eleanor, and Fanny's brother, Edward. Edward was the opposite of his sister in every respect. A serious, thoughtful young man, rather shy, but well-educated and sincere. The sensible and even-tempered Eleanor also seemed to like him very much, and, to Mrs. Dashwood's optimistic and romantic nature, their mutual affection looked certain to end in marriage. When Eleanor, in conversation with her impulsive sister Marianne, learned of her mother's hopes, she was very embarrassed, and begged Marianne to convince their mother that their departure for Devonshire should not be delayed for this reason. Edward was sweet and attentive to her, but so far had not mentioned marriage, and she knew that his rich family, in particular his snobbish mother, would disapprove of any connection between their eldest son and a girl of no fortune like herself. Marianne was surprised at Eleanor's calm, practical attitude to such an emotional matter, but she respected her sister's wishes and told their mother what she had said. Mrs. Dashwood wrote to her cousin, accepting his kind offer of Barton Cottage, and soon afterwards they began to make preparations for their departure.